Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode. Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
I just remember the first winter I moved here, it hit negative numbers like once or twice, maybe three times. But here it's like you get a whole week where it's negative temperatures.
That hasn't happened yet.
It was 3 or 4 days in a row, and we've got several more coming up this weekend, so it hasn't been a whole day.
Usually you got to wait till February for the negatives, or at least late January, but yeah, it's a little bit different this year, but that's how it always is. I didn't want to give a weather report so much as just say, it's cold up here, and, you know, warm today was 36 degrees, right? So it was warm enough to where, you know, snow was melting, there was some slush around. And so I imagine Boston is probably pretty similar as far as its temperature is concerned, maybe a little more moderate since it's right by the sea. But it's, I'm just going to say it's probably pretty darn cold in Boston as well.
I would imagine so. I mean, when I think about Boston and winter, I don't think about, you know, like California or San Diego or something. Yeah. I think about something along the lines of, you know, Boston in winter.
Yeah, today apparently it was like 37 degrees. So very similar.
About like Keene, then?
Yeah, very similar to what it was here. Later this week, Boston will be experiencing 29-degree highs, 45-degree highs, 35-degree, and on Friday, 22. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because they now have an open window requirement in Boston schools, in Boston school classrooms. So
I know why, but is it because of COVID-19?
Of course it is. Good morning, families. One school wrote to parents before their children headed off to class, quote, "It is still very cold. Remember, the windows in our classrooms have to be open. I suggest layering your child's clothes, two pairs of pants, two shirts and a sweater, two pairs of socks, etc., plus all their outerwear, hat, glove, scarf, etc." So they literally are telling people that it is going to be freezing cold in these classrooms. Are they also turning off the heat at the same time? You know, since if they had the heat on, it's just basically going to be pouring money out the windows, right? Like, although it would temper
the... Why not just have the classes outside at that point?
Yeah, I mean, it would temper the climate indoors somewhat if the heat was on. Maybe it wouldn't be freezing cold. I mean, they ultimately have to heat the building somewhat in order to keep the pipes from bursting, likely. So it would be interesting to find out from someone, some poor child who's in the government school system in Boston who brought a thermometer to class and just tell us how cold it really is in there. Because I would not want to have my window open 4 inches around the clock for 8 hours. I mean, it's one thing if you take a dump in the bathroom and you know, crack open the window for 30 minutes or 15 minutes, it's not going to be the end of the world, but 8 hours? These kids in these Boston schools that now have to sit in classrooms with open windows, they didn't make this choice. They are being forced into this situation because their parents are, I guess they
cowards.
Just don't care enough, right? Like their parents are, you're calling them cowards. Maybe some of them are cowards. I mean, is it fear is the reason why parents don't take their kids from government school? Is that why?
To an extent, I mean, in Massachusetts, it may be more difficult to pull your kids out of public school than in other places. I don't know, but it's a cowardice about changing their lives to not be reliant upon government in the first place, right?
Sure.
That's where the cowardice comes in, is that they could make changes to become more independent, to not have to be at work, you know, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week or whatever, actually spend time with their kids, or, you know, to make the responsible choice and not have children if you don't have, you know, 8 hours a day to dedicate to them, as most people don't, which is why most people shouldn't have kids. But they don't care, and they did anyway, because that's just what people
it's
are supposed
accident.
To do, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. People are definitely afraid of change. And going from a situation in which someone just takes care of your kids for 8 hours a day, which is the government school situation.
The glorified daycare.
Yeah, to a situation in which you have to make choices for your kids' educational, you know, future. That is a bit of a change, right? Like, that actually requires some level of responsibility. 76 is just what they've put the thermostat at to try to combat One of these teachers said it was a 55-degree classroom. So what's the reality, right? Like, there's the public statements that the Boston school public school bureaucracy is saying. Oh, no, we said it's 76. But what's the real temperature in the classroom? And again, look, if you care about your kids, you should have had them out of the government schools before 2020. But 2020 should have been like the heads up. Okay, now it's really time to go. And if you still kept them in throughout all of this, you now they're going to freeze your kids out in the school classrooms. Like, how much more abuse can your kids take? How much more until you finally say, you know what, I'm going to actually spend some time on my own kids and figure out what to do and get them out of this system?
I imagine both of these statements about the temperature are true, depending on what the outside temperature is. On a day like today, of course, schools were closed today, so kids couldn't benefit. Where it's 35 to 40 degrees outside, 76-degree heat probably could have kept the room reasonably comfortable.
Maybe.
But when it was, you know, 3 degrees or a high of 9 degrees,
right.
No, the temperature would have been probably in the low 50s or upper 40s.
Well, plus there. Those heaters must be on constantly, right? Like if you're...
Do they close the windows at night?
I'm not going to say I'm sure. I would hope that they do. But, I mean, as far as during their operating hours, when the kids are there, which is at least 8 hours a day, that heater's got to just be constantly cranking. If you take them out of the government schools, then the government can't indoctrinate them with their propaganda as easily. So that would have been the old reason to do it. Now they're literally just torturing them. So,
and I mean, some of these parents, they seem to know that. Like, hey, my four-year-old, this is the kind of notice I get from the school. My four-year-old's being subjected to this. Why? Why are you allowing your four-year-old to be subjected to this?
It's time to stop. You can still, in most places in the United States, pull your kids out of government schools. Now, as you said, Aria, it might be more difficult in some places than it is in others. But still, there's even in California, from what I understand, there's still a path out. So get them out. And better still, don't put them in the first place. If you're, you know, moving to a place, don't register them with the government school system. It's none of their damn business that you've got kids in that place. That's
sadly,
what
I think in some states you have to.
Yeah, you might be right about that.
New Hampshire is not one of those places, as I understand it.
The number here is 603-283-6160. And then we go to the Derry School Board, Derry, New Hampshire, where Erica Cohen writes an article for the Boston Globe headline, "I chair the school board in Derry, New Hampshire, and I'm afraid." She says, "For a couple of days last fall, a viral video on Derry Facebook pages was a one-minute clip of a man telling the Derry school board that if we required everyone to get the, quote, genocide jab, unquote, we would be war criminals and should hang." Obviously, the best solution would be to abolish government schools entirely and abolish the taxes that pay for them. But in the meanwhile, there's these stupid things called school boards, and these school board bureaucrats, these politicians that run for office in these low-paying positions, they're just little tyrants like every other politician. They wield whatever power they possibly can. So again, this school board lady here is upset because somebody said that she's a war criminal. Somebody said that she should hang for forcing kids to get the jab.
Well, I will say the man is out of line. If he had kept up to date with New Hampshire news, he would know that the school board cannot mandate that children get vaccinated, at the very least.
That's true.
So that part...
That doesn't mean they're not Nazis, though.
It doesn't. Yeah. But that little part of the conversation could have been skipped entirely, and he could have focused on other things that they were doing that were tyrannical.
That night, she says, my expression was steely. But the next day, in the district...
She cried herself to sleep.
In the district business administrator's office, I cried! You haven't read this story, right?
No.
Okay.
But I know the type of person.
Yeah.
I mean... She's a walking stereotype of a snowflake, of a tyrant who wants to abuse other people.
But when it gets turned on her.
And this guy didn't even abuse her. Yeah. He just said some mean things to her.
Yeah, he's not going to steal her house. She complains about this man who had spoken up at her meeting, and she says that she cried about it the next day in her district business administrator's office out of frustration, anger, and fear. She says the First Amendment gave that man a right to swear, to use lewd language, and even make veiled threats. And by the way, she cut his microphone when she was doing that. But she says...
What is the problem with using foul language?
They just don't like it. You know, they want to have decorum. At their meeting. They want their meetings to look respectable, right? They want everybody to be respectful. They want people to be polite because they don't want people to realize that you can speak to them this way. And that if you do, they really can't do a whole lot to you. Now, if they tell you to stop and then you don't, and then they tell the police to arrest you, then you catch a criminal charge. And they could probably hit you with like disorderly conduct or something like that. So it's not a perfect guarantee that you won't be arrested for this stuff.
It definitely doesn't seem disorderly, though. I mean, you have the microphone, right? You're allowed to speak.
Until they tell you you can't speak anymore.
Okay.
And they can make some arbitrary determination about that. So there's no perfect free speech system when it comes to speaking at these meetings. Ultimately, they are the ones in charge of the microphones, and if they want to take it away from you, they can, and then you would have to sue them. So she's now thinking about resigning again after that non-incident, right? Like, all of that was in her
head.
She's
such a Republican, man. Like, she created this elaborate scenario in her head that was not in any way represented by reality, and then she got offended and upset about this imaginary scenario that she created and is now crying about it. That's a 100% a Republican thing to do.
Well, I don't know what her politics is, but I will guess that
she's a Democrat.
An abject statist. That's for damn sure. But yeah, that seems like the safe presumption. So I hope she will actually do the resigning, but she has more to say. She says, I'm not alone. Barrett Christina, executive director of the New Hampshire School Boards Association, told me about school board members in the Granite State whom law enforcement had escorted to their cars for safety. One board was contacted by the FBI because of threats made against individual members. Quote, some very good members and some people who are committed to public education have already resigned from their local school boards, she said. I've heard from some others who've said they do not intend to run again when their seat is up this coming March.
Good.
Now, that is fantastic news. And so, like I said, I am going to reconsider my opinion here about attending these meetings. If you've got...
Might be time to run for school board if these people start resigning. There's a difference between a job and a career. Mm-hmm. And this lady has gone into the education field or the bureaucratic side of the education field as a career. So I'm sure she knew that she would lose this particular job at some point.
This isn't even a career.
You can get a different job in the same,
But she wants to move up to the next one. What's beyond chair of the school board?
In the school?
Superintendent, maybe?
That's actually like a real job. So when you work for the school board, you're only getting like, I don't know, a couple thousand dollars a year in New Hampshire, at least. Now, in other places around the country, it may be a very lavish position with tens of thousands of dollars or I don't know. But in New Hampshire, you're probably not pulling down more than $2,000 to $5,000 a year, depending on whatever school board we're talking about. So it's a part-time job. And most of these people aren't intending to be school board members forever. It's just that they're members of the community and they feel like this is their how they can contribute to the quote unquote community. Most of them
be a volunteer. Go be a volunteer. I mean, what's $2,000 a year anyway?
Yeah. I mean, it's almost a volunteer position. She might think differently about it.
I wouldn't
if she
do
were,
it for $2,000 a year.
Yeah, if she were making $50,000, she might think a little differently about it. But she's willing to throw it away because it isn't that much to her, right? Like, she's in this because
I mean, well, she's saying that she felt like she was threatened in public, yet she is only considering quitting her job, and that's a really big deal. It's like, just quit your job if you don't like it.
Your average person doesn't go to a municipal election, right? Like municipal being city or town elections. You know, the turnout, like here in Keene, New Hampshire, it's like a tenth.
Oh, it was a joke. I don't even think there were 1,000 people.
You're going to cross the whole city?
In this last year, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So the turnout's terrible. And you know who's going, right? The people who show up are the people who are knowledgeable for the most part. First of all, they have to know the election's happening. Number one, it's not like the presidential election where it's getting pounded everywhere and you can't avoid it. You know, you might see the signs on the side of the road, but you don't know what day the election is unless you specifically look for it, right? So you have to know it's happening. So the people who are politically connected are the ones who know it's happening. The ones, those political dogs that are constantly, you know, paying attention to who's who, and they know who Aria is, and they know who, you know, all the candidates are. And
that's definitely true of the municipal elections.
Right. Now think about it of the school board, how much worse that one is, because it doesn't even happen. The school board meeting or the school board elections in New Hampshire don't generally happen, at least in Keene. I don't know, but I can't speak to the towns because they have different setups. We live in the quote-unquote city. So here they happen in March. So it's 6 months away or whatever, more than 6 months away from, you know, the last election or the next election in November.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah. So, like, so it's not your typical election season. So the odds that even as many people show up to the school board elections as do the municipal election are even less. So who's showing up at a school board election? You better believe the teachers are. I've always said, now I don't support threatening people.
No one has threatened this lady, though.
And no one has threatened her. They just said that if you force kids to get the jab, then you would be a Nazi and you would deserve what happened.
That's like if I'm walking down the street and someone says, hey, I hope you die. That's not threatening me.
That's true.
Just being a jerk.
Right. And so she's really upset by this. And as she points out here, it's because she says that she used to only be the, when she worked as a local reporter, she was the only attendee besides the school board members at these meetings, unless it was a budget hearing and then a few more people would show up. She says, the same was true in 2016 when I joined the Derry School Board. Our discussions focused on policy, building maintenance, and budgets. There was disagreement, but there was no name-calling. There certainly weren't people telling us that we should hang. Today, Google school board and violence, and you'll get a host of articles from national and local news outlets with headlines like, punch thrown at Connecticut school board meeting, fight breaks out after school board votes in favor of mask mandate, threats, violence, lead school boards to request FBI help, and it's like a time of war.
I personally don't condone violence, but it's just crazy to me that these people think that they can do things to people's kids and not expect anybody to hit them. Like, do negative things to people's kids.
Well, I think a better solution would be for these parents to pull their kids out of the school system instead of punching some school board member or something like that.
School boards, she says, have two primary functions, to establish budgets and provide fiscal oversight and to set and adopt policy. COVID made masks one of those policies.
No, COVID didn't. School boards did.
Now, you did, lady. At hearings and meetings, we all heard the arguments against them. They were psychologically harmful to children. We had no right to make a medical decision and decide for parents that their kids should wear masks. The CDC peddles pseudoscience. Last August, audience
members... So she heard all those things, but...
And ignored them.
Ignored them. She is admitting that she remembers them, but she's choosing to ignore them.
I wanted to point that out, too. All of those things she just said are true.
Yes, they
the CDC is peddling pseudoscience and has been for a very long time. Masks are psychologically harmful to children. And I don't even remember what the other one was at this point, but it was a true statement as well.
But you see, they have a doctor, too, on the school board side. And he
is that my kid's doctor?
No.
Then I don't care what that doctor has to say. That doctor isn't responsible for my kid's health.
Last August, audience members repeatedly interrupted a doctor advising our district, mocking him as he spoke. Some opposed to masks stood directly behind the chairs of those who favored masks in what I assume was a bid to unnerve their opponents.
I don't have kids, but I have a dog. Imagine if I got everybody in the neighborhood, except for like this one family, to vote for me to be the dog board member. And I just started making rules for everyone else's dogs. And when they didn't like it and they came up to me and said, hey, you can't tell me my dog has to be in a cage all day. I was just shocked.
You elected me.
Yes, I can. And I was just shocked that they were mad at me and saying that I was acting like a Nazi. That's no different than what's happening here.
I like this because I like that the actions of these bureaucrats are finally resulting in consequences. Mind you, not real consequences like her actually being harmed, and I don't think that violence is the solution, or something bad happening to her car, you know, tires being slashed or whatever. I don't think those are the answers, but I'll tell you what, you keep effing with people's kids and it's going to get closer and closer to things like that happening. But right now, it's just people saying things to her. And I have always been in favor of telling bureaucrats, including the police, how you feel about what they're doing. Like, I've done this for years. And I've taken heat for it, too. Like, oh, you should be nicer. No, I shouldn't. Not if they're destroying someone's life. Okay? If you're actually harming another peaceful person, whether it's arresting a...
Which is what police do.
Free staters, people who've moved here as part of the migration of libertarian activists, can start going to these places and talking to these people, talking to the audience members, and telling them, like, look, the solution is this. The solution is to pull your kids out of the government schools. The solution is to contact your representatives and tell them we don't want government schools anymore. Stop forcing viewpoints about what kids ought to learn and what kids ought to do and what they ought to, you know, inject out of the government. It should not be at all an option. But she goes on. So she's talking about how school boards are now battlegrounds. Many boards, she says, including mine, have brought in police to quell the anger, because that always helps.
Yes, bringing in armed thugs is sure to ease the tension.
Her friend Christina says, this is the lady who is the head of the school boards association in New Hampshire, says such police presence at local school boards in New Hampshire was uncommon before COVID, but it is common now. I can tell you, they brought him into the Keene School Board 10 years ago when we were active there. So it's not that uncommon as long as people show up and have something to say.
There aren't many, you know, activists more peaceful than libertarians. So if they brought in cops in for that, it's not because people are making threats at them or anything like that. It's because people are disagreeing with them.
Yep, they want
control.
And that
terrifies them.
She says, and in a state where it's legal to carry a gun with a permit.
Oh, she's definitely, without a permit,
that means
correction.
She can carry a gun.
The amount of time that you'll spend fighting in these futile battles on these school boards, you could be doing other things that are actually good for your kids, like, I don't know, reading a book with them.
Yeah, I do have a little less sympathy for the parents now that they have these vouchers in New Hampshire where they can't just say, oh, I can't afford to homeschool my kid, well, or, you know, whatever it is. Send their kid to a different school.
Well, to be fair, the vouchers are new as of like last summer, so they haven't even been around for a year yet, as I understand it. And probably not all parents know that they exist, right? Like the school boards are against the vouchers generally. Yeah. So they,
obviously.
So they're
the
not
Democrats
gonna,
are crazy against the vouchers.
Yeah, they're like, not going to send a note home with the kids, right, to let them know about this. It's
I'm
be
curious, why are Democrats against the vouchers?
Because it takes power away from the government schools.
I know, but that's not the reason they're going to give, is it?
No, of course not.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. You are giving people money to get their kids educated, and you're supposed to be pro-education if you're a Democrat. It's only that
they
aren't getting educated the way that they want people to get educated.
They want their curriculum to be the one that's shoved down these kids' throats. And if it's money that's going home to the parents, and then the parents get to decide the curriculum, then that takes them out of the system. It takes them out of the indoctrination. And
right, I understand that, but they can't tell people that. They can't say, look, we're against this because we want to indoctrinate and brainwash your kids.
Sure. It's only fun to learn when you want to. It's only fun to learn when you're actually interested in the thing. Well, not when they shove it down your throat because somebody said everybody has to take X, Y, and Z classes.
Well, one of the first things that government schools do is they stamp out that kids love to learn. They make learning into something that is miserable and unfun, and homework and testing, the number one ways they use to do that.
Yep.
Let me go on with this lady. This is, again, the chairperson of the Derry, New Hampshire School Board. She says, the trouble on school boards isn't only about how best to protect our kids from COVID. Critical race theory has also become a factor. CRT is not taught in our pre-K through 8th grade school system, but that hasn't mattered. In 2021, as CRT, which contends, among other things, that racism is embedded in legal systems and policy, became a stand-in for the conservative case against liberals, outrage over it spread to local school boards. I first heard about critical race theory in a candidate forum before Derry's school board elections last March. The candidates expressing outrage over CRT and masks didn't win seats on the board, but there's reason to believe they'll have better chances this year. For one thing, last July, conservatives and libertarians in New Hampshire passed so-called divisive concepts legislation, which makes it illegal statewide to teach school children that one group is inherently superior or inferior or inherently racist or sexist.
The libertarians who are fixated on the presidential election and the national LP, I don't know how to reach them about how much time and energy they're wasting when they could just come to New Hampshire and actually do stuff and see stuff change.
I remember Gary Johnson came out with this video like only a week before the election, or maybe like 2 weeks before the election, when I had already decided I was going to vote for Trump. I don't know if you guys know that about me, but I was just like, I just can't let Hillary Clinton win. She's too bad. I was about to vote for Gary Johnson. The whole time I was telling everyone to vote for Gary Johnson. And then like 2 weeks before the election, I was like, I am terrified of Hillary Clinton and I have to vote for Trump, or else, which doesn't even make any sense.
If it makes you feel any better, our votes don't matter.
Yeah, exactly. I was voting in Utah. It's not like they weren't going to vote for Trump. They were definitely going to vote for Trump. But anyways, I remember Gary Johnson came out with this video that was explaining to people, it should have been targeted at people like me, but it didn't work on me. If you're saying that you don't want to vote for me because I'm third party and I won't win, I can't really remember.
I mean, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, sure. You know, if people won't vote for Gary Johnson because they're convinced a third-party candidate won't win, then nobody votes for Gary Johnson and a third-party candidate never wins. That said, dude, there are so many better ways. Take the whole, not even the whole National Libertarian Party membership, just take 10% of them.
Mm-hmm.
Plop them in New Hampshire, and you'll see freedom actually happen in your lifetime.
Yeah, absolutely. for those people that actually have a priority for liberty, those are the ones that need to make the move. If your priority is your career and or taking care of some family member or whatever, then you're going to have to stay where you are. And I wish, you know, I wish you the best. It's going to suck because the tyranny is just going to get worse and worse while the freedom is going to get better and better here in New Hampshire. And, you know, that's just the inevitable factor of gathering people together in the same place. We've seen it happen so many times in history where, you know, look at Utah. You brought up Utah, Bonnie, and the Mormons moved there. And there's no doubt about it that the Mormons had a huge impact on that place. The state of Vermont used to be a very red state prior to the 1970s when the hippies had a very deliberate movement to migrate into Vermont. And now it is one of the more left-leaning socialist places.
I didn't know that. I just assumed the hippies thing was always just sort of a stereotype.
No, that's relatively recent to Vermont.
The Mormons, they chose Utah because they said nobody else would want to be there because it was cold and kind of desolate. Right.
More or less why the Free State Project chose New Hampshire.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
that's not why the Free State Project chose New Hampshire. New Hampshire was chosen because it was one of 10 different states, all of which had less than 1.5 million population, excluding Rhode Island and Hawaii, because those are notably like notoriously corrupt places. That's why Jason Sorens, the founder of the Free State Project, left those off the list. And thank goodness Hawaii didn't win. It's truly...
People would have voted for it just because it's Hawaii. It's
you just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.